Hi, this is Anne Merchant, and welcome to The Sounds of Science, the podcast brought to you by the National Academy of Sciences, the National Academy of Engineering, the Institute of Medicine, and the National Research Council, collectively known as the National Academies. I think it's fair to say that the world changed in the wake of the tragedy of September 11th. The subsequent anthrax attacks and ongoing terror threats internationally have also contributed to significant changes in national and international security. As concerns about threats and terrorist activities have become global, so have the rapid transfer of information and communication. The confluence of the globalization of business and the revolution in information storage and transmittal has changed the landscape upon which to build national and international security. It's now time for us to re-examine the security measures developed during the days of the Cold War to assess whether those tools are still appropriate and to determine how they are affecting the current science and technology enterprises. It's also important to keep in mind that while concerns about certain research findings falling into the wrong hands are legitimate and safeguards are necessary, the gains in science and technology that result from the free exchange of information far outweigh the slight risks. The success of U.S. science and engineering has been built on a system of information sharing and open communication, not only among U.S. institutions, but also with the international science and technology communities. The global scientific enterprise thrives on the movement of students and scholars across borders and among institutions. Extreme measures to limit the flow of essential information or people would therefore significantly disrupt advances that are critical to U.S. military and economic security. Meeting the challenges of future technological or biological threats depends on developments that can only come from long-term academic research. The National Research Council believes that it's critical to keep U.S. universities open, welcoming students and scholars from around the world and participating in international research, while limiting access when warranted and placing appropriate restrictions on well-defined, high-risk areas. To that end, the National Research Council recently convened a series of regional meetings at which presentations were made by a number of governmental officials concerning security threats confronting the United States. While these individuals were not always able to offer concrete examples of the reality of these threats, they clearly perceive vulnerabilities to which we should be sensitive. They discussed concerns that have several dimensions. First, the United States' porous borders could allow terrorists to enter the country and attack U.S. citizens. Some of these terrorists might pose as, or in fact be, students in order to gain entry and find cover in a university community. It's therefore argued that there's a need for programs to police the entry of students and to verify their activities. This situation differs from that of the Cold War because of the number of countries that are terrorist spawning grounds, and because, unlike during the Cold War, those who seek to penetrate U.S. borders under false pretenses are not spies, but rather terrorists on missions of destruction. Second, there is concern that terrorists might use U.S. advanced technology against us. The presence of dangerous pathogens or other research materials that could be used as weapons pose a potential vulnerability at some universities. Moreover, there's concern that terrorists aspiring to apply advanced technology to the development of weapons might develop the technical capability to do so through a university education. This situation differs from that of the Cold War because the Soviet Union was a sophisticated adversary, at least with respect to weapons technology, while the terrorist community is not. It's argued that there is a need for special programs to screen foreign students from a range of countries who might be pursuing studies in sensitive fields. Third, there is a more generalized concern about state actors and their access to advanced technologies of military significance. That is, because the U.S. military edge is built on the skillful application of advanced technology, there's concern that other countries might benefit militarily from access to scientific or technical information available in the university environment. This, too, differs from Cold War days, first because of the diverse group of countries that might be judged to be potential adversaries. Second, because research in some areas like biotechnology is now far closer to application than it has been in the past, and lastly, because in some fields the civilian applications of technology available at universities may be ahead of military applications for that same technology. Finally, concerns were expressed that stem from the reality that America's economic well-being is founded on the maintenance of its scientific and technological edge, and that foreign countries could seek to penetrate U.S. universities as well as U.S. businesses for the purpose of obtaining early access to technology in order to supplant U.S. capabilities and reap the economic gains for themselves. This, again, differs somewhat from the Cold War days because the world is increasingly flat, with individuals from most anywhere able to connect, collaborate, innovate, and compete. As a result, many countries now seek to exploit advanced technology as an engine of economic growth. In the National Research Council's view, none of these concerns should be dismissed or disregarded. Indeed, the NRC is aware that the university community has responded to concerns raised by the September 11th terrorist events by strengthening current policies and implementing new policies. But these concerns don't justify the use of overly harsh measures that could significantly disrupt the openness that has characterized the U.S. scientific and technology enterprise. Some policies that would aim to minimize threats could pose significant risks to the nation's ongoing ability to remain economically and militarily secure. The National Research Council first recognizes that openness and communication are important foundations of modern science. Developing and implementing measures to control access to sensitive information must be considered within the context of overall costs to the research community and to the public, and with an eye toward anticipated effectiveness of measures to enhance security. For example, it's important to ensure that grants and contracts awarded to U.S. universities and research institutions do not restrict the publication of unclassified research. Participation of foreign-born scientists and engineers in U.S. laboratories and classrooms warrants increased efforts to ensure that policies regarding their movement, attendance at scientific meetings, and collaborative activities are adequate and not self-defeating. The visa clearance process should continue to be monitored. The government and Congress should also consider extending temporary visas for those working in high-demand research areas and creating a non-immigrant visa category for doctoral and postdoctoral scholars. In addition, the technology alert list, which restricts some non-U.S. students and scientists from working on legitimate technologies that could be misused to threaten national security, should be revised to include only areas of study that have explicit implications for national security. The U.S. government should continue to develop policies and procedures for the oversight of dual-use life sciences research that foster international collaboration and control. Local monitoring mechanisms should also be coordinated. To strengthen and harmonize the institutional review of life sciences research, the Department of Health and Human Services, in conjunction with other agencies that conduct and fund life sciences research, should develop an education program focused on risk-based biosafety and biosecurity review. The National Research Council also calls on the National Science Foundation, the Departments of Defense and Homeland Security, and intelligence agencies to increase funding for the social sciences, particularly languages and area studies. This kind of research could improve understanding of the social, cultural, and political bases of terrorism and identify potential responses. The agency should also fund additional research in security risk assessment and cost-benefit analyses of security strategies affecting university research. It's imperative to develop and maintain communication channels between the security and academic research communities so that ongoing discussions and sharing of information is facilitated. To improve relations between the two communities, universities and federal agencies should create opportunities for university scientists to participate in government security fellowships and for members of the national security community to participate in university fellowships. University leaders need to continue to educate administrators, faculty, and students about security, export controls, and other relevant policies and procedures and ensure that they are in compliance. The success of U.S. science and engineering has been built on a system of information sharing and open communication, not only among U.S. institutions, but also with the international science and technology communities. For more than 50 years, U.S. research universities, the envy of the world, have welcomed and fostered the talents of both foreign-born and U.S. students in the service of national and economic security. Foreign-born scientists and engineers come to the United States, stay in large numbers, and make significant contributions to America's ability to achieve and maintain technological and economic leadership. Given the current diminishing rates of new scientific and engineering talent in the United States, the subject of other National Research Council reports, and a topic of national concern, the size of the U.S. research and development effort cannot be sustained without a steady infusion of foreign nationals. It's imperative that we continue to encourage U.S.-born citizens to pursue science and engineering degrees and at the same time remain open to the benefits that foreign-born but U.S.-trained scientists and engineers bring to our country in terms of technological and economic growth. For more information on this topic and to read the full text online of Science and Security in a Post-9/11 World, you may visit the National Academies Press website. My name is Anne Merchant, and you've been listening to The Sounds of Science, the podcast brought to you by the National Academies, advisors to the nation on science, engineering, and medicine. Be sure to visit us at our website at nationalacademies.org, where we have more than 3,000 books and publications available full text to read free online.